Exactly.
Praise the Lord. Sound is going to help me by giving me more power tonight than I had the last two. Amen. Whoever gave me that throat coat, God bless you. I couldn't even say this much before that. You know, I just love everybody. Thank you so much for all your kindness. Amen. I just feel at home. Amen. God is so good, isn't he? I want to thank everybody for praying, leaving early in the morning, keep my family in prayer, having a graveside for my grandma. But, you know, all those other prayers, they just work. My man that we call Dad, who had a massive heart attack, had open heart surgery, he's doing fine. Praise the Lord. He's responded. Had one of my friends. You know, God is good. You know how when things happen, you wish you could be everywhere at once, but you got to remember God is omnipresent? And I was like, God, I want to be here, and I need to help them. And I had a dream. And I dreamed I was on the bank of a river, and in five different places, there was things going on. And I was like, God, how am I going to get there? But when I opened up my eyes, there was different people in those different places. And God said, stay right where you are, so I'm still here. Amen. And when my pastor called me, she began to tell me about the people who went to go see him. Those were the people that I saw in my dream. And God had spoken. I saw one of my friends, Brother Chris, and God actually spoke to him to go see to the man that I called Dad. And he went in, and he wasn't moving, and he wasn't responding. And God gave him a word, and he began to speak to him. And all of a sudden, his legs started moving. And so he kept talking to him, and then all at once, he opened up his eyes. And he's been alert ever since. Oh, somebody ought to praise him right there. He's a miracle-working God. Amen. And then my aunt, who they said they didn't know if she was going to make it, they told me she's out of the hospital at home. Oh, so God, he's just so good. I don't know what to preach now. I say we give the mic back to Abigail. She could just take off. I went to a meeting where they wanted me to preach. They wanted me to come. I asked Abigail to sing. She wasn't doing good that day. She didn't want to sing. Ended up getting up to sing anyway, so she sang. She preached for 45 minutes, and we had an altar call. I just sat there like this. But how many know it's not about you? I don't care if God used a four-year-old. Don't make me no difference. I'm just going to jump in that river. Amen. It's not about me. Amen. It's about the kingdom. I'd like to thank Brother Kyle for that message that you preached this afternoon. Little did you know that the Lord used you to steer me. Amen. You didn't know that, but you obeyed God, son. You did. And the reason I'm going to say that is because I had two messages. And I said, well, if I preach them both, we're not going to leave till tomorrow. And you know me, I'm not long. I don't believe in being long. But God spoke to me and he said, preach Ezekiel chapter 37. And so I said, well, Lord, are you sure? You know, I got this other message here. And then when I walked through that door and sat down, you opened that Bible. You said, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. I said, amen. Thank the Lord you obeyed the Lord. You steered this preacher. And believe it or not, every once in a while, we got to be led. And I really don't care how he does it. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. I'm going to try not to be long tonight. Why, you know, there's a lot of non-believers in the house. Now you know that my message is only 5 minutes. It's the introduction that gets me in trouble. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. And reading on down, and the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in an open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone, and behold, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, Father, we pray that we just don't tickle somebody's ears tonight with excitement. Amen. Because we'll leave the same way we came. But, oh, Father, let your word penetrate the hearts of your people to cause us, oh, God, to run towards you closer than ever before. Father, let us never let a service become common, but let us get everything we can out of every service, because we don't know that today may be the last for someone. I don't know, God, what you're calling us to do for each individual in this end day, but I do know if we're going to accomplish it, we're going to need you in everything that you have for us. So bless your word to the hearts of your people, and we'll give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If we have the title of this message, I would call it this: When the Wind Blows. Turn around and tell your neighbor, say, when the wind blows. You know, I'm reading this verse of scripture. I've heard it preached so many different ways by so many different preachers, and you know, many theologians, as they talk about this, they reference the scripture to the resurrection of Israel. I've heard people preach it in revivals. There's so many different ways, because the Word of God is vast. There's different parts that you use to give examples or to reference to, and then there's the actual revelation of what that means, because some things is for a time past and some things are for a time which is to come. But today I want to paint a totally different picture to try to show you what God was trying to speak to me about this congregation tonight. Amen. I feel like talking, but I end up preaching because that's just who I am. I want to throw this in. I'm not going to be long tonight because I don't got no notes. Pastor Frazier tried to give me some, but I ain't got no notes. In Ezekiel chapter 37, We read about a graveyard. Anybody like going to graves? Anybody find a lot of joy in that? There's no singing there. There's no rejoicing there. There's no clapping there. Because a graveyard represents something that used to be alive. It represents something that used to be, and all it is a place of memories. If I go and visit a grave, then I'm going there to remember someone when they used to be alive, or something that they used to do when they used to be living. It's a cold place. It's a dark place. But this is not your average graveyard, because he's saying bones are scattered everywhere. So when I read the scripture, something catastrophic happened. Bones are everywhere, not even aligned. Somebody lost the battle. Somebody died fighting. And all that's left now is a memory that haunts those that are still alive of a victory which was lost somewhere along the way. We're talking about scattered bones. And if anybody did live, What did they lose in battle? I'm painting a picture here for you because I want to show you where I'm going later. Have you ever gotten hurt? Because it is a mistake to believe that in battle you never get cut. It's a mistake to believe that in battle you never get hit. It's a mistake to believe that in battle you never get knocked down. Have you ever had to fight for your life? Because this was not a game. And the sad thing is that as I listened to the Reverend Smith, he began to talk, I began to realize this ain't no game. Some people come to church, they get mad if you step on their toe. They get mad because you talk about the toilets. They get mad if you tell them something. This ain't no game. This is a battle to the end. The devil's not playing games. He's aligning things up. White people's going to battle, saying, I'm in the Lord's army with no sword, no shield. You're going to die. Yeah. This ain't no game to the devil. This ain't no game to those demons. White folks is in church playing games. But when you're fighting for your life, sometimes you get hurt. But you keep fighting. I've thought about that. Great army that went in there. I'm going to win this war. I'm going to win this fight. I want to win this battle. But then somebody got cut. Somebody dropped their sword. You ever dropped your sword? You ever started off fighting and you had your Bible, but somewhere you got hurt and you dropped your sword and you thought you could still make it. But now you got cut. Somebody went to battle with shields because you better believe it wasn't just an army full of bones. There was weapons that laid on the ground that's now covered in dust. Where's your shield? You ever win the battle and you held up your shield, you're believing for your kids, you're believing for your family, you're feeling the blows. All of a sudden you look down and you see a fallen brother. Nobody expected to see that, but you got to see what I'm talking about in the spirit. When you come to church and we worship in God, all hell's breaking loose here in the spirit world. There's demons attacking your mind to get it off on somewhere else. Somebody's mad at somebody. Somebody's jealous of somebody. Somebody got a pain and wondering if God is really going to heal them. There's a battle taking place right here tonight in the midst of our preaching. There's a war going on. You ever lost your shield? And now everything the devil hits you with, he's trying to kill you. Somebody died in that battle. You hear me? Somebody died in that battle. Somebody swung that sword with everything they got, but they didn't. They didn't expect to get cut. They didn't expect to get hurt. They didn't expect to lose the shield. They didn't expect to step over their best friend who died. They didn't expect to step over a son that died. This is not what I expected. I thought it was all going to be glorious. I thought it was all going to be hallelujah. I didn't know I was going to cry sometimes. I didn't know I was going to get hurt sometimes. So I lost some things. I met Vietnam vets who lost some things on the battlefield. God told me, he said, there's people here tonight. They're still here, but they lost some things on the battlefield. I met Vietnam vets who fought with all their heart, but they came back with no legs. They lost something in battle. Came back with no arms. Oh, proud to fight. Happy to be in battle. But still hurt over those that they loved who was lost in a battle that they thought they could win. Never expected to see such blood. Never expected to see so much bombardment by an enemy. Never expected the enemy to be so full of ammunition and to be so accurate. They was picking off people and they was getting off boats. I didn't expect that when I got enlisted. And the truth is, we get saved, we forget that we are on the battlefield. We forget you got to be clothed with the whole armor of God. We forget when you come to church, you better enter His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. There's a devil after you. There's a demon after you. There's a serpent after you. You can't afford to put your shield down. You can't afford to put your sword down. You're in the midst of a battle. But I lost my leg. And now the enemy mocks me. You still in church, but you lost your gift to sing. That's still in the battlefield. You in church, but you don't preach no more. You lost your lips on the battlefield. You in church, and you don't give no more because you lost your hand in the battlefield. You in church, but you don't love nobody because your heart was cut out on that battlefield. And even though you barely survived, you left something in that battlefield that belongs to God. It's a cold, dark place now. The devil's laughing. They still coming to church, but I got everything they need in this battlefield. Until one day, God says, enough is enough. I'm going to visit your grave. God says, I'm going to visit the place that you lost things. You want to know where you get things back? Where you left it. He said, sing a new song. You got to make every song new. But God is not giving you something back new. You got to take back what was taken. Because God won't repent over the gift that He gave you. So now God is stirred. He's visiting the grave because there's something in there that belongs to Him. And He wants it back. See, because you thought it was your song, and you thought it was your testimony, and you thought it was your gift, and you thought it was your talent, but no, God gave it to you. It's His, and He's tired of it being covered in dust in a grave. So God is visiting the battlefield. Wow! So God calls the prophet. I brought one this time, Pastor Coleman. And Ezekiel didn't have a choice. God didn't say, Ezekiel, would you please go over to that graveyard? No, he didn't have a choice. The Bible says he was carried by the hand of God and put in a place. He didn't ask to be. He didn't ask to go. I never read where he had a desire. Never read where he prayed to go there. God put him there. You can't pick where you serve God. You can't pick your calling. This ain't Big Y. This ain't Tops. You don't got 20 choices of cereal. And say, okay, God, I want Cheerio ministry. You got to eat the bowl of cereal God give you. Some of us, we're not happy at the place that God called us. So we want to go somewhere else. And we wonder why we die. And we wonder why we're cold. Because we don't like where God put us. But God put him there. Hit your neighbor and say, where's God put you? God says, I'm placing you there. Has God ever called you to a graveyard? Don't raise your hand. Don't, because Sister Skeleton may be sitting by you. He was called to a dead place. I don't want to be here. All the young people's dead. I don't want to be here. I don't feel the ministries that God really want me to have. I don't want to be here. I don't see the signs and the wonders. Why do you think He's sending you there? You know, I once told my pastor I was upset Because at one time when I first went to the church, there wasn't a whole lot of black people in leadership. So I said, well, what in the world do I want to be here for? I need to go down there where there's some more black people. Because there ain't hardly no black leaders here. So he said, did you ever stop to think that God may have sent you to start it off? Humble pie, humble pie. Because the reason God is sending you there is not so that you can die with the rest of the bones, but because you got some life inside of you that's going to change the very environment that God is sending you in. I'm sending you there for a purpose. But it's cold, too bad. But I'm lonely, too bad. But nobody's with me, too bad. When you get done, there's going to be an army. When you get done, there's going to be an army. But you got to see what God sees and not what you feel. So he goes in to that graveyard. And God said, tell me what you see. And he starts looking around. Oh my God, this is worse than I thought. Oh my God. And it's so dusty. Don't you got a ministry in Hawaii? God Almighty. The Bahamas or something. And he examines everything thoroughly. Because you need to know your area. And you need to know your environment. And you need to study it carefully so that you can fully understand your assignment. Don't be ignorant of the devil and his devices. So he carefully examined the situation. And then number two, God says, what do you think? He said, well, there are very many. And they're very dry. Turn around and say, your neighbor, have you ever been honest? Say, tell the truth. Because you know how we are. Somebody go, how was those kids in Sunday school? Well, you know, it was all right. You know, it was all right. It was all right. And inside you thinking, one little, two little, three little demons, four little, five little, six little demons, seven little, eight little, nine little demons, 10 little demon kids, 10 little, nine little, eight little demons, seven little, six. But you're not going to say it. And because we can't be honest with God, God can't deal with nothing, and God can't change nothing because we're not honest with God, and you're the one God sent in to make change. Hit your neighbor and say, honesty doesn't mean lack of faith. Because sometimes we got it mixed up. We think if we tell the truth, we don't have faith. So you know, somebody got some pain in their body and you say, brother, how do you feel? I feel okay. And you go to the car. Why don't you just say, I got pain, but I'm believing God to take it away? Why don't you just tell the truth? See, when God gives you an assignment, you can be honest without being critical or judgmental. But you got to be honest with God about a situation so that change can come. God, my home is a wreck. My kids won't listen. I tried everything I could do to try. But God, I need your help. That's when help can come. But as long as you're like, it's all right, it's okay, he's working, he's dealing, that's not how you feel. And God can't deal with a situation until a man and a woman is honest with God. You can't lie to God. And by the way, when you pray, you're not informing him of anything anyway because he really knows the truth. God said, the reason I put you here, Ezekiel, is because you was going to tell me the truth. I already knew it was out of order because it was scattered. I already knew it was dry because I saw it. I was there. I'm omnipresent. I see everything. But who's going to tell me the truth? It's hard to tell the truth sometimes, isn't it? It's hard to look at somebody, and we try to be so good at it. Don't ask me to do it because I'll mess it up on you. It's hard. But the only way God can deal with things is He deals with them in truth. Ezekiel, I don't feel God. That's true. Now I can help you. I don't understand the situation. That's true. Now I can help you. I don't know why this thing is dead. See, Ezekiel's basically saying, I really don't know why you sent me here. There's nobody to preach to. There's nobody to help. There's no youth group to form. No mission building to build. I'm by myself and everything around me is dead. All I see is parts. You ever felt like there was dead things around you and there was nothing you could do about it? You ever felt like all you was looking at sometimes is parts? You ever felt like you was just speaking and everything is around you just dead and nothing's responding? I told God, I said, this is not going to be the popular one. This is going to be the tape that don't sell. Change the title. The tape that don't sell. But you can buy the one little, two little, three little demon for $1.99. Well, donate that to missions. He's walking in that graveyard and he's calling it like it is. He's saying there's a problem in your life, not you. Whenever I point, don't worry about it. There's a problem in your life. There's a problem with that ministry. There's a problem with giving. There's a problem with getting volunteers. There's a problem with keeping our youth. There's a problem with young teen pregnancy. There's a problem over here. He's saying there's a problem over there. And that's dry. That's dry. See, he's addressing the issues. He's looking at things in the place that God has called him in. And he's saying this is not really the way that it should be. But I'm giving God an accurate report because I'm looking for a change. I'm not happy with this situation. God did not call me to live in a grave. And the only way I'm coming out of this grave is to change the graveyard.
Amen.
So I'm going to change the graveyard into a revival camp. Turn around and tell your neighbor, we're about to change a graveyard to a revival camp. But you ain't got no organ, so. You ain't got no choir, so. You ain't got no youth group, so. You ain't got no support, so. The God who sent me is bigger than it all. All you need is one person, because one is a majority with God. Come on here. Hit your neighbor and say, all God needs is you to start the fire. God is saying, Ezekiel. Hit your neighbor, because they're going to be Ezekiel. Say, Ezekiel. I just need you to be willing. Is there anybody in here tonight that's willing to go into a dead situation and look it head on and challenge it?
Come on.
And say, you may be dead right now, but in just a little while, there's going to be a change because the God I serve is about to resurrect your grave. Hit three people and say, you won't be dead much longer. You will never in your life conquer what you fear to confront. You understand that? You will never conquer what you fear to confront. The reason God, Kyle, called you to the area you're in Cain is because you was the only one he understood could handle it. Somebody else would run and hide. Somebody else would have their tail between their legs like a dog running away. Somebody else would have gave up a long time ago. But the reason God called you to Olean, the reason God called you to Cain, the reason God called you to the church you are in is because He designed you to handle it. Hit three people and say, honey, you can handle it. I said hit him. I said hit him and say, honey, you can handle it. You know what you feel when you confront things? Pressure. Pressure makes you nervous. It takes your voice away. It makes you not make decisions right. But you know why God puts pressure on you? He doesn't put pressure on you to break you. But when He puts pressure on you, what you're feeling is the thing that's around you that shouldn't be there. The pressure you're feeling is the warfare that's trying to hinder you from doing what God wants you to do. But you feel the pressure of it. I wish you'd tell your neighbor, hang on in the pressure. Because sometimes you're going to feel the pressure of your kids. You're going to feel the pressure of your family. You're going to feel the pressure of the world. But hang on in there, because in a little while, something is about to break. If you feel the pressure, it's because God is bending something. And you're smack dab in the middle of it. But when it's all over, you're not going to break. But that thing is going to be broken. You feel the pressure? That means something is about to break. When Reverend was preaching this morning, I felt the pressure of what the devil's doing in this end time. But what that tells me is that the closer he gets, and the more I feel the pressure of it, the more something is about to break. That sky is about to break open. And the Son of God is about to step out on clouds of glory. You're not going to break under pressure. The devil is a lie. Hang on in there. Your God is going to see you through. Hit six people and say, you're not going to break. You're not going to break. You're not going to break. Hit another six people and say, you're not going to break. I said hit them. If you got to get up, hit them. And say, you're not going to break. You may be the only one in Sunday school, but you're not going to break. You may preach to an empty auditorium, but you're not going to break. There may not be enough money to send you to the Dominican Republic, but you're not going to break. Stand. And when you've done all you can do, stand all the more. You're not going to break. Wow! Somebody shout! I came to tell some pastor, you're feeling the pressure, but you're not about to break. The devil is trying to get you to give up before your answer comes. How much time I got? See, because the Bible talked about when Jacob laid down his head on a stone, it was a ladder. Angels going up, angels coming down. He said, my God, this is an awesome place. This is the house of God. Angels going up, angels going down. Did you know that the church is the gateway to heaven? Did you know that God has access to the world through the church? Did you know actually when angels come down, they come down the ladder, out the door, and into your house? And if the devil can contaminate the altar, he closes the portal. You allow sin at that altar, I'm leaving tonight anyway, so it don't matter. And you allow, you know people in sin, and you allow them on that platform, you're contaminating your altar. You're closing your portal. You're destroying your ladder. There's a ladder where angels come down. You know why they come down? They come down to answer the prayers of the saints. They come down to protect you from devils that's trying to take your life before your time. You don't know how many bullets the angels unblocked. You don't know how many cars try to run you off the road. You don't know how many people try to stab you coming in your house from the grocery store at night. You have no idea the madman that should have went to your job and blew your brains out. Wow! But the angel of God came down the ladder and spared your life. Somebody ought to praise him. Somebody ought to glorify him. Thank God for a ladder. Faith sends an angel down the ladder. But you know what the problem is? Sometimes they come down with healing in their wings. And in the in-between time, the devil calls us to lose our faith. So they come down, supposedly to heal our brother. And the thing that drew his answer is not there anymore. So now I've got an angel walking around saying, I got healing, but where do I go? How do I know? Because God said his word can't return unto him void, but it has to accomplish the thing he sent it to. So if he sends an angel, ministering angel, to heal or deliver, to help, but you don't have the faith, it means he's got to go to somebody else. Because he can't go back up the ladder until a prayer is answered. He can't go to God and say, I went down with healing, but nobody wanted it. He's got to fulfill his assignment. He said, you sent me down to deliver, but they didn't want deliverance. So you know what happens? He's got to find anybody to deliver. So if you call him down for healing, but you don't want it, he'll find somebody else in the church that's praising God and he'll heal them. But somebody's going to get healed because God's word can't return to him void and God's got to be glorified. There's a lot of angels running around looking to fulfill their assignment. But when you see them going up the ladder, it means somebody got an answer. You know what I feel like? Reverend Schmidt, I feel like there's going to be angels going up the ladder tonight. I feel like angels are going up the ladder. I feel like prayers are going to be answered. I feel like miracles is going to happen because somebody dares to believe the word of God. Reverend Sanchez, prove that. Prove that. Prove that. The angel said to Daniel, Daniel, the Lord heard you when you first prayed. And when I came down the ladder, I had to wrestle the prince of Persia. There was demon power in the way. There was principalities and powers that tried to hold me up. But because you kept believing in between, because you didn't let go, because you didn't give up, God released Michael, the archangel, who came and did battle with me. And I'm here to tell you, your God is answering your prayer. Hit your neighbor and say, help is on the way. What do you see? Very many and very dry. And now God asked him a question. Well, can they live? He looked at them one more time and he goes, have you seen this crowd? God says, can they live? He said, thou knowest. You know what he's saying? I'm not even about to answer that question. That's loaded. Because here you got to understand, God is initiating everything. He didn't ask to be there. God put him there. He didn't ask the questions. God is asking the questions. God is initiating everything. He's initiating the conversation. He put him in a place. He gave them the assignment. He's asking the questions. Everything is in his hands. And God is saying, can they live? He's like, whew. Lord, thou knowest. And God said, speak to the bones. That would have been me. I'd have been like, what? Confront the situation. Speak to the dead thing. What do you want me to say? Say, oh, dry bone, hear the word of the Lord. That's it. That's all, son. Confront it and speak to it. And I'll do the rest. I want you to watch. I want you to see something here. I want you to see something about delegated authority. God is in the graveyard with Ezekiel. God is telling Ezekiel what to say. God is actually speaking the words. And God is saying, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. But nothing happens. God is saying out loud the very words he wants his prophet to speak, but nothing is happening. How come the bones didn't respond to God's word? Because he spoke it in the same graveyard. I'm going to tell you why. Because it was delegated. And God will not go above the person he delegates. You looking for God to do something in your home? Mama and daddy, God's looking for you to do something in your home. You looking for God to do something about Sister Susie? God's looking for you to do something about Sister Susie. You looking for God to change something in your area? God's looking for you to change something in your area. God doesn't give Adam the job to name the animals and then sit there and give them the names. When he gives you an assignment, the power to accomplish the assignment came with the task. So now God says, you speak to the bones and say, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Somebody raise your voice and say, oh, dry bones. Y'all got to say it like you're from Virginia. You got to say, oh, dry bones. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Because nothing in life is going to happen until you grab a hold of God's word and you believe God's word and you speak it for yourself. Nothing is going to change until you take authority over it. Stop crying. Stop complaining. And take your place in the kingdom of God. Amen. God said, ain't nothing going to change until you get in the anointing of the Holy Ghost and you take authority over your assignment. Yeah. The devil ain't giving you nothing. Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But why did he say that? Obviously because it was going to try to prevail. But he said it shall not prevail. But it will prevail if you don't put your foot down. So I'll tell your neighbor, you've got to put your foot down. In other words, you've got to take authority. Spiritual authority. kingdom authority. You have to start taking it over your home and over your kids and over your jobs and over your ministry and over your churches and over the missions and over the finances. You got to know your assignment and you got to take your place in the kingdom. Dry bones, you don't have a choice. I command you, hear the word of the Lord. Because nothing is going to happen until God's word comes on the scene. How did you know? In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And all things that were made were created by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. The only way something is going to change is if somebody who's honest speaks a word into the situation. I'm talking to a Sunday school teacher. Speak the word into a situation. I'm talking about a youth group leader. Speak the word into your situation. I'm talking about a mama and a daddy with kids that won't listen. Speak the word. He spoke that word, and the Bible said there was a noise. Wow! I just had to make some noise. Because the devil said, ain't never going to be no noise in here again. Ain't never going to be no young people in here again. There ain't never going to be no revival in here again. They dead. There's no more hope. Hit your neighbor and say, but he didn't know I was coming to town. The devil said, there'll never be no noise in here. But all of a sudden the Bible says, there was a noise. Hey God, they're not alive yet because it's just a noise. But you know what that tells me, Brother Kyle? Something's happening. I really can't explain it, but something is happening. I really can't define it, but something is happening. How do you know? Because there is a noise. That's how I know. Because let me tell you something. Whenever something is about to break out in church, somebody claps their hands. Somebody says amen. Somebody says glory to God. There's a noise. How do I know something's happening? There's a noise. Whenever there's a noise in church, it means something is about to happen. It means the glory of God is about to come down. Somebody make some noise. Somebody make some noise for the Sunday school. Make some noise for the youth group. Make some noise for the mission fields. Somebody make some noise. God is visiting your grave. He's coming to the place where things are hid. Because he can't come back until every piece is in place. I don't care where they hit it. God knows where every piece is. When Nebuchadnezzar took it, God knew where every piece is. Not one thing of God is ever lost. God knows where everything is that is his. There was a noise. Turn around and say, neighbor, I'm glad I heard some noise. Say, there may not be no noise in your area, but there's noise in mine. Go ahead, tell them there may not be noise in your area, but there's noise in mine. Say, ha ha. Say, if you want what I'm about to get, you better make some noise, darling. Pastor Frazier already told us they make noise at the ball game. Step on a hat, kick it, kick a ball, hoop and holler, and go home with the same sin that they had when they came. But I'm not talking about that noise. I'm talking about a suddenly noise. A noise that changes things. I love it when the sermons just come out of the auditorium. You know when the seats start preaching, you're about to have revival. Come on here, somebody. Because he's prophesying. You know what happens when you're in church? You say, amen. And you say, yeah. You know what you're saying? Do it, God. That's right. You look at the devil in the face and you say, you can't touch this. Somebody give God a shout. Somebody give God a praise. Somebody clap your hands. Somebody glorify God. There's a shout in the house. There's a praise in the house. My God is glorified. My God, I hear some noise. I hear some noise. I hear some noise. I hear some noise. I hear some noise, brother. I hear some noise. There's life in the graveyard. I hear some noise. I hear some noise. There's some life in the graveyard. I hear some noise. I hear some noise. There's some life coming in your grave. Wow! God is after something. He said, there's something in that grave that belonged to me. There's something in that grave that belonged to me. And according to heaven, the timetable is up and I want it back. Can I preach for 3 minutes? The time has come that folks that ran out to go to the bar and go to the club and went to the drug house and ran around not married and had kids, God is calling for his parts back. You want to know what that means? Your son is coming back. Your daughter's coming back. Your mother's coming back. Your father's coming back. God is calling his people back. Somebody shout, somebody praise them, somebody glorify them, they're coming back.
Yeah.
God said, it's been in the grave too long. The enemy's been rejoicing. Too long. And the Bible said there was a shaking. I'm starting, Reverend Schmidt, to get uncomfortable in church because I realize I just can't sit here and do nothing. I actually got to testify. I actually got to win the lost. I actually got to pay my tithes. I actually got to live the life God is. He's shaking you up. Preachers, I'm talking to a preacher right here. Don't back down when God starts shaking things up. It's a good thing when God shakes up a home. It's a good thing when God shakes up a life. It's a good thing when God shakes up a church. My God, somebody scream, shake it up, Lord. Because you know what happens when God shakes things? The things that the devil tried to bury, you'll never preach again. You'll never sing again. You'll never see your ministry. You'll never go to missions. You'll never build a church. Got you all packed. Put the gravestone there. Ha ha. Got you. Never rise again. Put a little flower there. But when God starts to shake things up, all of a sudden things that was buried for 40 years, they start to rise to the top because God is shaking us up and God is shaking us up and God is digging us up. Hit your neighbor and say, thank God for a shaking. Yeah. And when God shakes you, the devil loses his. And every bit of dust falls off. Because sometimes God will resurrect us, but the dust is there to remind us of where we used to be. It's there to remind us where we once fell. But in the shaking, God says, I'm shaking off your dust. You want to know what the dust is? It's the food that Satan was cursed to eat. God said, I cursed the devil to eat the dust of the ground. And you know what it means when a Christian is covered in dust? It meant the devil was able to get around you and go, and he buries you with his lies and tells you you can't do it until a shaking comes, and every lie the devil ever told you, and everything people ever told you, and they told you you couldn't make it, and they told you God wouldn't do it, God just shakes it off. I wish you'd just go like this real quick. Tell your neighbor, you want to know what I'm doing? I'm shaking it off, baby. I'm shaking it off. He lied to me. I'm shaking it off. He said I couldn't make it. I'm shaking it off. Somebody ought to shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Matter of fact, just go to your neighbor and brush their shoulder off. Say, you missed a spot. My God, somebody make some noise.
Amen.
Because now when the devil comes, he won't find nothing in him in me. He won't find nothing in him in me. Ain't no world on this jacket. I shook it off.
Amen.
There was a shaking. Why? Because bone was coming together with bone. God says, before I can do anything, I need to put you in the place that you should be in and connect you with your part. As long as you're out of joint, as long as you're not obedient, as long as you're not doing what God wants you to do, you're a part that's out of place. But in the shaking, God is aligning you in your rightful place, in your rightful ministry, with your rightful calling, because there's about to be a revival in the grave. You want to know what God has been doing these last days? He's been dusting us. He's been shaking us, and he's been putting us together, because the greatest move is about to happen. It hurts to be put in your place. Anybody ever had a shoulder out of whack and somebody had to pop it into place? Does it hurt? How much do it hurt? But how many of you know God ain't concerned with your temporary pain when you're about to have eternal glory?
Amen.
God said, let me put you in place. So God will put you in place in the grave. Don't let the devil lie to you. God can move in the dark just as much as he can move in the light. God can move in the daytime just as he moves in the nighttime. God can move just as much as there's peace as when there's a storm. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, and he's everything in between, and he's got all power. Somebody said, I don't feel nothing. You don't have to feel nothing for him to move. Because God, the Bible says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. In other words, sometimes you can have a pain in your body and you don't realize you healed till 2 days later. You'll be walking, you go, wait a minute. When did that back pain leave me? See, because you got a surgeon that operates without a scalpel. He don't need no medication. You don't even have to make an appointment. He's so skillful. He can take it out of your body while you're praising him, and you'll never even know it's gone. God, he's a powerful God. God says, I'm moving in your nighttime. I'm talking to somebody. I'm moving in your nighttime. When it looks hopeless, when it seems like nothing is happening, when it seems like everything is scattered, I brought you here for such a time as this to pull things together. Turn around and tell your neighbor, you are a key member to this move. And God started aligning things so that everything had the proper structure. Because God don't make fish and then make the water after. First he makes the water and then he puts the fish in it. But God always needs a man. And when I say a man, that's male and female. Turn around and tell your neighbor, he always needs a man. You know, the Bible tells you in Genesis, so I got a few more minutes, I'm going to try to wrap this up. Just give me a few more minutes, I'm trying to wrap this up, I get in trouble. But it don't matter because somebody got to do the middle. In Genesis, we find that when God created the world, I want you to read it in Genesis, he didn't do everything himself. No, that's not what it says. It says, and God spoke to the earth, and the earth brought forth trees.
Come on.
And it says, and God spoke to the sea, and the sea brought forth creatures after its kind. It says, and God spoke to the firmament, and the firmament. God always speaks to his creation to produce his desire. So if God needs a tree, he speaks to the ground. If God needs fish, he speaks to the sea. If God needs a star, he speaks to the firmament. Because everything that's created is dependent on the Creator. So, if I pull a tree out of the ground, the tree dies because it's dependent on the one that brought it forth. If I take the fish out of the sea, the fish dies because the fish is dependent on the thing that brought it forth.
Right.
Yeah.
So when God needs a tree, he speaks to the ground. He needs a fish, he speaks to the sea. But when God made man, he didn't speak to the ground. When God made man, he didn't speak to the firmament. When God made man, he didn't speak to the sea. The Bible says when God made man, he spoke to himself. And what does that mean? It means that I am totally dependent on God. I can't live without him. Wow! And so now, when God needs something done on the earth, guess who he's coming to see? If God needs revival, he's not going to the sea. If God's got to cast out a devil, he's not going to the firmament. If God needs the sick healed, he's not going to the ocean. He's coming to a man or a woman that was created in his image.
Come on. Amen.
So God said, that's why I'm sending you, because you have in you what it takes to bring forth my desire. So now everything is lining up. Brother Schmidt now. All right, let me do this in 5 minutes. And God said, I want you to do something that's never been done. Because the bones are in place. But now, here comes restoration. So I'll tell your neighbor, God can give you back everything you lost tonight. If you want it. And guess what? Here's what the Bible says. You can probably quote this better than me. If an enemy is caught stealing something that's yours, he's got to give it back 7 times. There's nothing that the devil stole from this Christian world that belongs to him. So even if that person passed away and they don't got it, you can get it. Because it don't belong to them, it belongs to the kingdom. So in other words, if he took your daughter and you use your authority, you will only get back your daughter, but you'll get back hers, his, hers, his, and hers. Because you got the right to claim 7-1. So if the devil took your health, there's 6 more people that's about to be healed. If the devil took your finances, there's 6 more people that's about to be blessed. If the devil touched your body, there's 6 more people that's about to be touched by the power of God. And the Bible says, in the sinews, in the veins, in the muscles, they came back. Remember that one that lost his legs that the devil was laughing at? His legs started growing. Remember that one that couldn't give because he lost his hands? His hands started growing. Remember that one that didn't have an arm? He couldn't fight no more with a sword. His arm came back. Remember that one that lost the shield and couldn't fight for his family no more? His shield came back. God started giving people back everything they lost. Why? There's 1 more battle to fight, and this battle you're not going to lose. Wow! Somebody ought to shout right there. You're not about to lose this battle. You're not about to lose. God said, I'm coming back for a church with every gift in operation. One who's walking and shadows going to raise the dead. Don't you believe for 1 minute that the devil's going to have a heyday on the church? You're about to see signs and wonders like you've never seen before in your life. God's trying to get the church out of the potty stage. He's trying to get you out of diapers and get you grown up to be men and women of God, operating in the fullness of the Holy Ghost, anointed by God with all the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Hit your neighbor and say, you ain't seen nothing yet. You think the Red Sea was something? You think the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace was something? You think Daniel in the lion's den was something? They longed to see our day. They said, my God, there's a whole generation of Christ. We thought we killed them, but we see them in every country. Jesus said this. Oh, I'm trying to close. Greater works than these shall you do. What instrument do you play? Yep. You play I don't play the drums. But the ability to play the drums, is it in your hands? No. The ability to play the drums is in your mind. Anybody speak Spanish here? All right, Ma, you speak Spanish. Is the ability to speak Spanish in your legs? No, the ability to speak Spanish is in your mind. Anybody know how to operate the sound equipment? Is the ability to operate the sound equipment in your ear? No, it's in your mind. So what does that tell me? I got good hands and I got good legs, but I don't have it in my mind. But if I put your mind in my body, I'll operate that sound equipment. If I put your mind in my body, I speak Spanish. If I put your mind in my body, I play the drums. And that's what Jesus was trying to say when he said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. If I can get the mind of God in the body of Christ, then the church will do what God does and miracles will happen. One more time, let the church rejoice. It's in the mind. God said, I'm raising you up for this generation. It was a restoration of gifts to the body of Christ. Romans 10 just, why are you saying this? Because last night, God says, I'm aligning everything for a battle that my people are not about to lose. Turn around and tell your neighbor, you're not about to lose this one. Preach to him for a minute. I know you've been hurt. Preach to him. I know you've been cut. I know things happened in battle. I know you had discouragements. You're not about to lose this one. I know you had some kids that left the church, but you're not about to lose this one. I know the doctor said you're going to die, but you're not going to lose this one. I know the devil told you you'll never rise again, but this is your third day, baby. You're not about to lose this one. You're going to rise again. Wow! Somebody shout! My God, I'm too tired to run. Somebody run the building for me. My God, don't sit there. Somebody give God some praise. Somebody glorify. Black God, somebody give God the praise. Somebody worship him. God! Stay standing, I'm almost done. You know what God said to the men of God? He said, speak to the wind. I want you to do the impossible. I want you to speak to something that you cannot see. I want you to speak to something that you cannot control. I want you to speak to the wind. And I want you not to just speak to it, but direct it. See, there's a time in your life when you can just say, God move, God do this, and God have your way. But there comes a time you gotta know where to send the wind. You hear me? There comes a time that you gotta say, oh wind, blow in the Sunday school. Oh wind, blow in the youth group. Oh wind, blow on the finances. Oh wind, blow in my home. Oh wind, blow in the church. Then open up the church door and say, oh wind, blow down the street. Oh wind, blow in the bar. My God, somebody clap your hands. He said, prophesy. Lift your hands and praise him. I just felt The Holy Ghost just blow right over my head. He's gonna blow in here tonight. He said, you speak to the wind and you tell it where to go. Where does it need to blow tonight? What area needs to live? He didn't say speak to one wind, Pastor Frazier. He said speak to four. So that no matter what direction it tries to run in, it'll hit him smack dab in the middle. Before I give this altar call, I want you to do something real quick. I want you to lift up your hands and I want you to prophesy to the wind and tell it where to blow, because you know where it needs to blow. I'm giving you about a minute. Go ahead. Tell them where to blow. Go ahead. Prophesy, man of God. Prophesy, woman of God. Prophesy, son of God. Prophesy, daughter of God. Speak to the wind. Speak to the wind. Say, thus saith the Lord. All four winds, blow on the youth group. Blow on the Sunday school. Blow on my children. Blow on my husband. Blow a wind. And the Bible says, and suddenly there was a winds started to blow. When the winds blow, it blows the dust away. When the wind blow, it blows the trash away. When the wind blows, it blows the doubts away. When the wind blows, it blows the fears away. When the wind blows, it blows the sickness away. When the wind blows, it blows the curse away. When the winds blow, it blows the storms away. When the winds blow, it blows the hindrances away. But at the same time, it's blowing out. It's blowing in power. And it's blowing in anointing. And it's blowing in wisdom. And it's blowing in direction. Lift your hands and say, God, let the winds blow. Lift your hands again and say, God, let the winds blow. Say it only if you mean it. God, let the winds blow. I need the wind to blow my ministry. I need the wind to blow my home. I need the wind to blow. God, I need the winds to blow. The Bible says, when everything was in place, Pastor Coleman, it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Pastor Frazier, heaven was making some noise. Heaven got excited because heaven saw that hell was losing its victory. Heaven saw that the devil was losing his grip. Heaven saw that the devil was on the run. And there was some noise in heaven because the church was about to get some power. I got news for you. It said, and suddenly, tell your neighbor when everything is right, it's always suddenly. Because God don't waste no time. He said, there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. It was mighty because hell couldn't stop it. It was rushing because God couldn't wait to get to you. And it was a wind because it could go through anything to get in you. And the Bible says, it just filled the chair. It just filled the front row. It just filled the pastor. It just filled the youth pastor. It just filled the preacher. What'd the Bible say? Don't tell seven people, it filled the house. Tell seven more people, it filled the house. Shake somebody's hand and tell them, it filled the house. I wish somebody that believed it would touch somebody and say, it filled the house. God's not looking to fill one person tonight. God is looking to fill a house. My God, I wish somebody would give God some glory. Hit your neighbor and say, let him fill the house. Let him fill a 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 house. Let him fill every room. Let him fill every seat. Let him fill every boy. Let him fill every girl. Let God fill a house. All right, I'm done. He said this, cloven tongues of fire sat on them. You know what that means? You know what it means? When God sits down, it means he reigns. God don't sit down until he reigns. He said, he wasn't going to sit until he made your enemies. Your footstool. You want to know what a footstool is? It's something that you use to reach up higher. God said, I'm going to use your enemy to elevate you. The Bible says cloven tongues of fire sat on them. It meant that God's authority sat over your life. And before the devil touches you, he's looking at an all-powerful God sitting right above your head. And you know what it does when he sits on you? It controls you. Right when you're about to get mad, he sits down. Right when you're about to give up, he sits down. Right when the devil thinks he's got you, God sits down. And you know what it means when God sits down? It means he's got the last word. Devil, go ahead and do what you want to do. But my God sat down and his enemies are going to be a footstool. My God, I wish somebody would give God the glory. Wow! Cloven tongues of fire, authority, anointing, and power sat on each one. Equally, when God filled the house. Turn around and tell about three people. Let the winds blow. Tonight, God is going to do something tonight. I can't even describe it. But some people are about to get back some things. Some things are about to get undug. Some things is about to grow back. And the wind of God is about to blow in some areas. We got some young people in the building that are believing God to stir their towns. They said our areas are dead. Our young people are dying. Our youth groups is getting small. But God is sending you to a graveyard to resurrect some bones. I charge you tonight in the name of Jesus. I deputize you by the anointing. He kondo shananamahaya in the Holy Ghost. He shanadarabo shanamahaya. If God has to resurrect him from the ground, he's going to have an army. One more time. Somebody praise him one more time. If you're looking for God to use your life to do miracles for his glory, I want you to run to this altar. I want you to lift your hands. And I want you to tell God, let the winds blow in my life. Go on and sing something for Holy Ghost revival. Let the winds blow. Lift your hands and praise him. And say, let the winds blow. Let them blow in my ministry. Let them blow in my home. Let them blow in the youth groups. Let them blow in the graveyards. Let them blow in the finances. Let the winds blow. You sent me here with Holy Ghost power to resurrect the dead. Let the winds blow. Pastors, go around and help pray for those around the altar.
In the land today. Oh, Holy Ghost, fire like a mighty wind is blowing. Holy Ghost, fire like a mighty wind.
That wind is a blowing. That wind is blowing. Let the wind of the Holy Ghost blow. I want my young people lined up at this altar. They want God to blow in the graveyard. Line up at this altar right here. Come quick, come quick, come quick. Come quick because the wind is about to blow. Lift your hands to heaven and let God have his way. We're going to go through and pray for you. And God is going to send you to that graveyard to resurrect it and see an army come forth.
Holy Ghost, fire like a mighty wind is blowing.
God and glorify him. Get in your place. Let God put you back together. Let God restore you. Let God breathe in you.
Thank you.
Praise God. Praise God. Send the power just now. Yes. Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. And baptize everyone. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. And baptize.
Power just now.
the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone.
Power just now and baptize everyone. thank you for this church. We thank you for this pastor. And God, it's all we can just know. You're doing something. You're working. You're working. You're working, God. Lord, these people are with their pastor. They care. My God, hallelujah. Your hand upon this church, upon this pastor, God. Hallelujah. Do what you're doing, God. Do, Lord, what you need to do, what God, Lord, they're reaching out for, moving one. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand behind your pastor. His wife, too. Amen. All of you have pastors. Stand with them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sit in the presence, whatever you would like to do. Okay, he said, I got an announcement. He said, I got filled with the Holy Spirit tonight. I want everybody to know it.
Just
strengthen them soul, body, and spirit. Thank you. We thank you, O God, all those that have gathered. And Lord, we thank you that, Lord, as we opened up the door, all of us together, you've come in. And Lord, we thank you for every life that you came into tonight and spoken something in a still small voice, or maybe something out loud, or whatever. Those that have come maybe even haven't felt anything, but I believe you still spoke to them. They're going to see a difference, a change somewhere, Lord, in a problem or a situation or in their spiritual walk. Lord, we thank you for camp meeting. We thank you, Lord God, for your care. And we pray, God, you just continue to work and move in every one of our lives. God, the Word will penetrate into our hearts. My God, we'll live by the Word of God. We'll feast on the Word of God. We'll be readers and studiers of the Word of God. Lord, we'll gather in the house of God. You've spoken to every person. You had something for every one of us here tonight. We're glad and thankful for those that have opened up to receive, for the works you've done around this altar and even in the back row tonight. We thank you, Lord. Your hand upon us, may we serve you and follow you, God. Lord, not live one kind of a life inside the tabernacle and another side outside. No, that we'll walk with you in the morning, at noon, at night, in the middle of the night. We'll love you, we'll serve you, we'll follow you, my God. And Lord, you just want us to be straight and healthy spiritually so that we can go out into the highways and byways, compel them to come in. We can be witnesses where we go. Every one of us, Lord, have an audience. People that we live around. People, God, that we know. Help